Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Chuck Bonnewell, Julie Hayden, Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
That's right. Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Coming up momentarily, we're going to have John Conlon on the show, a great columnist. We've had him on before. Talk about everything going on. It's like, talk about, you know, buckle up. Trump has hit the ground running.
Coming in. My God, blizzard warnings in D.C. for all the things that Trump is doing.
It didn't take long for Rhino Congressman Jeff Herd from Colorado's 3rd Congressional District to expose his true colors. He is basically the only Republican, except for like Mitch McConnell, I think, coming out opposed to the January 6th pardons. I mean, talk about, and he's doing it to Channel 9, right? We'll talk about.
Yeah, of course he is.
What a traitor he is. I mean, he hasn't even been there long enough. You'd think, just keep your mouth shut.
Gets the Ken Buck Award.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we'll talk about that too, and all the things that Trump is doing. But I think I was reading something. It was a tweet to the liberals that was saying, hey, you guys don't get it. We are done with you. We are over it. We are over it. So, well, there'll be more about that later. But we have John Conlon with us. He has a great column up in American Thinker. And it kind of ties into everything that's going on right now. Why can't we let labor markets work? Hey, John, Happy New Year. Thanks,
John,
for your time.
Thanks for coming.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So you're kind of talking about, you wrote the column that at a time when there's, well, and it's ongoing, actually, debate about the H-1B visas, and you were talking about labor markets. But, and I'd like you to do that and then just kind of tie it in with some of the economic market things that you see Trump doing. I saw somebody is moving 15,000, one of the automakers, automaking jobs back to Illinois from Canada. I mean, it does kind of seem if you let it work, it works, right?
Oh, exactly. That's, you know, long ago when I still subscribed to the Wall Street Journal, mainly for the editorial page,
right.
You know, they would sing the praises of there's not a market out there that's bad. They, you know, do amazing things. And I agree with that. It's like a defining characteristic of being a conservative, supposedly. But then when it comes to labor markets, it's like, oh, that's a shortage. We need to import a ton of people to solve that problem. It's like, well, you got to let the market work, you know, and it doesn't work in, you know, in 24-hour increments.
No. Well, and by letting the market work, to me, it's like it kind of all evens out and works to the benefit of everybody, right? I get if you're an employer, if you have a bunch of people brought in who are willing to work cheaper, it's cheaper for you specifically in the short term. But in the long run, it creates all kind of other ripple effects. Whereas I think, as you wrote, if you just let the market work, that shortage will resolve itself, right?
Exactly. Well, and I always laugh at the people, oh my gosh, you know, who's going to clean our bathrooms and who's going to pick our crops and all this stuff. That's the exact same argument that the plantation holders of the old South used to defend slavery. My gosh, our business model doesn't work if we don't have slaves. Well, change your business model.
No, that's a perfect comparison. When they said, look, you know, we need more labor and we can't get it, so why not take slaves? Yeah, that's a good idea. That'll
exactly.
You know, I forget how many years, maybe it was 20 years ago, San Francisco had a shortage in their garbage pickup, so they offered $45,000 a year, which back then was a lot of money for anybody who's willing to become a garbage man. I mean, they got more from lawyers and accountants. I mean, they got resumes in or offers from everybody in the world. And so, oh, yeah, there's no labor shortage here. If you allow it, and, you know, for example, you know, cotton, okay, you don't have enough workers. Well, then you invent things that'll do it automatically. You just don't kind of not do it. And you're absolutely right. The labor markets can fill themselves. They say that we don't have enough employees for Silicon Valley. Well, if you offer money, I promise you, all those people taking who were majoring in DEI majors will come over as fast as they can. But they never,
Oh
well,
yeah,
that's, go ahead.
and you'll get people that maybe that are have pretty high intelligence. Instead of becoming an attorney, they'll say, "Hey, I'll go into high tech. There's a guaranteed
Yeah.
job. I'm a senior in high school, and I'm pretty good at math and whatnot. And I look and say,
Right.
what path do I want to take?"
Right. Well, and I think, and then on the flip side of that too, what you do is then you cut benefits, right? You don't do like the Biden administration did and pay people all kinds of money to just stay at home, right? That creates a shortage in and of itself too. It's like, why should I get a job when the Biden administration is giving me all kinds of, well, they're gone now, so that's not going to happen. But that works out too. And so let me kind of, I know, sort of switch a little bit, but how do you see some of the things that Trump is doing, and he's hitting the ground running, man, impacting some of the markets and the economy.
Oh, I think, short term in some of these markets that, see, we've allowed the markets not to work for a long, long time. So then we'd look out at those markets and say, oh my gosh, see, it doesn't work. We need these illegal immigrants here. So it's like, no, because you've had illegal immigrants for so long, the markets have been destroyed. So now we're going to have to wait for or take some time to let them work, which basically means wages are probably going to go up. And so, as far as his immigration stuff, I think it's great. I mean, my grandparents came here, wanting to be an American. That's the, immigrants used to want to be Americans. They didn't come for any social programs because there weren't any. You
Right.
could come here and starve to death. That's the deal you got. But, millions and millions of these people have no intention, no desire to be an American. They just come because of the benefits. And I can't blame them. If I was in their shoes, I would too. But I think something like half the world gets by on less than a buck a day. I mean, is that what we're supposed to look at American workers and say, well, boys, buckle up, because that's what you got to compete against. I won't do that to my fellow citizens.
Well, and going back to, you let the labor markets work in, and check the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle did a series of stories about this where, the city of Denver has this outrageously high minimum wage, right? Well, you can't, it, what it's done is it's destroyed jobs. It hasn't created more jobs. It hasn't given anybody more money and more benefits.
Well,
Restaurants
it's
are
given a
fleeing.
few people more money and more benefits, but it's also
Right.
a huge number of people have been laid off. We did a comparison between Glendale and Denver, and Glendale's surrounded by Denver. And, they didn't make this huge disparity for tip employees. Well, their restaurants are doing great. Denver's restaurants are leaving town. They can't
Right.
afford.
Well, and that's the thing, especially when it's like just a little community. It's go across the street,
Right.
And what's happened there is they price that above market level for that. So therefore, the suppliers won't supply the jobs at that price level. Whereas, in people used to complain about the minimum wage, and like in most of the country, the minimum wage is meaningless. Because it's so far below the market wage. Go out and try to hire somebody for, $8 an hour and see what success you have for anything. But they in these states, because they don't, I think as Hayek said, if socialists understood economics, they wouldn't be socialists. So it's the same with Denver. If they understood economics, they'd say, hey, wait, we're pricing above market labor price for this. This is going to lead to businesses closing, people losing jobs. It's not going to help anyone.
Well,
No.
22% of Denver's restaurants left town. I mean, 22% is one fifth, over a fifth of the restaurants said, this is, we can't pay these wages, so we'll go
Right.
elsewhere.
So all those wait staff, all those
Yeah.
cooks, all those people, once again, I think as Thomas Sowell said, the ultimate minimum wage is zero.
Yeah.
No one hires you.
Right. Well, and again, it's not letting the labor markets work, right? It's these, do-gooder communists, basically, in the Denver City Council that want to, they impose this minimum wage that has nothing to do with reality, doesn't take into account the margins that restaurants work with, right? It's not like, I don't know, I mean, if you want to impose a minimum wage, maybe go to the healthcare industry or places where they're making billions of, just bringing in money. But restaurants, the way I understand it, they work with a very low margin. And Denver has all kinds of other problems that are sending keeping people away too. And so it's like, again, like, and it's these people now they make zero. And so they're not helping, and the businesses are gone, and they're not helping anyone. And it's just, again, if they just let the market work, if they could get a better wage at a different restaurant, they would go work there. So if you want to compete, then you raise your rate.
And wait staff are gypsies, trust me. That's what they do. I
Right.
mean, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's like, hey, I can make more money over here, or they treat me better. It's not all compensation. Sometimes it's management, This guy's not
Well,
a jerk. I don't want to work with you.
Julie can testify as to farm labor, what happens when you don't necessarily have illegal immigrants to do the work because
You have children.
they have children like her. Well,
That's the way it should
she was
be
out in
done.
the fields.
Well, and that's an interesting thing to bring up. When I was a kid, and I actually, to be honest, I have no idea what the labor laws were, but my dad would employ, and he was a landscaper. First, he was a farmer, but then he became a landscaper. And they had, it was the big sod farms. He didn't have a sod farm, but he had a sod farm. And they would bring in a lot of people from, I think, Mexico, right? And they would house them for the summer. And what these guys did, it was all men, and they would work there for a few months in Illinois, and then send all their money home, and then they would go home, right? And sometimes there were shortages, and I'm the oldest of five, and so we worked in the fields too. But it, they didn't. They came here, they made a better living, and now I don't know if it'd probably be illegal for them to do that. Well, or no one would enforce it, but they didn't stay here, right? And they didn't bring in families, and they didn't bring in criminal cartels and things like that.
No, I forget the name of that program, but my grandparents had a farm,
Lucero.
so
Is it
they
Lucero?
had the same sugar beet crew come in every year. Granddad knew the guy who run the crew. They'd come in, they'd stay for a couple weeks, hoe the beets, they'd move, around, and that's what they did. They might work 5 to 6 months in the United States, and then they'd go back home. They didn't want this to be their home. They just,
No.
because it also, like for Mexico, it allows them to give a safety valve so they don't have to make necessary improvements to their society, to their government. So, they just export them out to this country, and now remittances are the number one income for Mexico. Over their oil and gas industry, that's how
Wow.
big remittances are. So, from their perspective, it makes sense to export their people here because they're smarter than we are.
That's right. Well, and Charlene had the same experience I did. I grew up as a child labor, and we worked with the migrants in the field with them. It was fun. Yeah, now you're going to do it. Well, back to then, sort of, and on a more general, just because a few more questions for you here. Chuck and I were talking, and we'll talk more about this. Have you been surprised at sort of the buckle up attitude that Trump has?
Shock and awe.
Yeah, shock and
Shock
awe.
and awe program.
I mean, he's not messing around, huh?
The smile hasn't left my face for a few days now. So, no, and I think he's, for better or worse, too, I think Trump's unleashed. This is
Yes.
it. And he's not afraid of anything. So, unfortunately, in the future, probably some of his excesses will rise to the surface. But all in all, it is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And if they don't screw it up, Vance should be around for another 8 years. So.
I absolutely agree with you. Let me ask you this, and we'll talk more about this, but I was having lunch with some folks yesterday who said, that maybe Trump losing in 2020 was sort of a blessing in disguise because people really needed to see how bad it could get under the Democrats. And
Oh, I wrote an article on that a few months back.
okay.
That exactly that it is a blessing. It's a blessing also. Let's assume Trump was granted the win that he, in my opinion, he did win. But he would hit, half his administration would still be filled with non-loyal pukes. He'd still
Yeah.
be seen stabbed in the back. This way, 100%. These people, everyone there knows they're on board. They know what they signed up for. They're willing to go out and do it and hopefully save the country. So, no, it's long term, that theft is the best thing that ever happened to this country.
Well, what would happen, every Republican administration after Roosevelt, would they'd bring in, you know, the head of the departments, but the ship would just keep on going in the left direction it was going. They wouldn't really change much. I mean, they wouldn't accelerate it, but it was incredible that, you know, when Eisenhower came in, he didn't change anything. And same with the rest of them, you know, and same with Trump when he first came in. You know, he had no idea, you know, he'd given executive orders. What I like about this time is he's got these action teams to enforce his executive orders. Before, he would give an executive order. Okay, good. We like that. Nice executive order.
They've been laying this stuff out for, you know, they've been working on this for multiple years.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So, yeah, I am very excited about it. And like I said, as long as they don't screw it up, you know, I'm a conservative / small L libertarian. I'd say that's because I think that's where reality is from a political standpoint. But, you know, Bill Buckley, an incredible person, incredible conservative. But as people ask, what exactly did these guys conserve?
Exactly.
You know, transgendered, socialism here. So what did you conserve? So, you know, those past Republican administrations, I agree that, you know, the government grew faster under Bush than it did under Clinton. You know, what's wrong with this picture?
Right.
Well, just look at Nixon. I mean, Nixon brought in the Environmental Protection Act. He brought in affirmative action. How many left-wing things did Nixon impose? And a ton. So all you got was, you know, left and farther left.
Exactly.
The Republicans.
Isn't that the way the media reports things, right? We are far right. But you never hear them ever talk about far left because there's no such thing.
That's right. Extreme radical left. You know,
a moderate Marxist.
What do they call Christian nationalists. It's like, whoa.
Right.
You know, it's like, hey, and let me ask you this, too. And we're kind of ranging all over the place, but there's so much to talk about with Trump. So, you know, I think everybody now has seen the video of that disgraceful bishop who, like, in the middle of the prayer service starts, like, lecturing Trump and Vance about transgender and immigrant rights, right? And I read a great column, and it was talking about Christianity is being perverted by Marxism or being invaded by Marxism. Do you have any thoughts? And I thought, so true. It's like, what does all of that have to do with Christianity? It's like nothing, you know?
I agree. It's too much Christianity has definitely fallen into the socialism and, you know, Jesus was a refugee type mentality. And, you know, it's sad. Well, all your listeners, if they're looking for something funny, go to the Babylon Bee today. They have one that says, you know, some heroic woman, and it's the picture of that pastor, proves once and for all that only men should be pastors.
That's true. Oh, I know. I've seen some funny memes about what they're saying, where there's one out there where Trump, it's like Trump is talking back, saying, shut up, you don't want to talk about, or saying something, and J.D. Vance keeps going, boom, every time he says that.
Well, and I think actually, once again, and maybe it's the Trump effect, I think it's going to come back and bite her and her philosophy more than it's going to hurt Trump. Right. You know, the backlash isn't on Trump. This was, you know, inappropriate. It was unfair. And then people dig into it and say, then what exactly, how is these Christian beliefs, taking by gun from one person and giving it to another person is not a Christian act.
Well, she's actually a bishop. A bishop of the Episcopal Church, which is much lower than a pastor. And she will not get in any trouble with the Episcopal Church because they're so far left, they can't stand it. But at least Trump and you know, it's kind of, nah, I thought it was boring. They don't go, oh, okay.
Well, and it's like,
Chuck, like you said, 20 years ago or whatever, the Republicans would have been bending over backwards trying to get that person's favor.
Right. Yes. This is wonderful. We appreciate the moral message. Oh, yeah.
Well, and it's kind of like Elon Musk goes like this, right? Uh-oh, Julie's a Nazi.
Yeah,
right?
My heart ain't with all of you. Oh, no.
And I think, to me, I'm like, keep it up, Democrats, right? I mean, PBS, if you want to get defunded, that's the way to do it, right? Because I was reading a David Harsanyi tweet, and he said, literally, no one on the planet thinks that Elon Musk was making a Nazi salute, right? No one thinks that. And they just keep doubling down on it. And I'm just like, keep it up. You guys just keep going there, right? And we'll win for the next however long, you know, because no one even... The media, they just make themselves more clowns when they do stuff like that, I think.
Yep, and they're just losing one person at a time. It's just like a business, how they lose business. Generally, it's not some big thing. It's just slowly, well, this person doesn't come back, that person doesn't come back, and I think that's what we're seeing politically. And you know, as long as I think Trump and team stick to the truth out there, we'll end that.
Yep.
Well, I'm not sure if this is going to be Trump for 100 days. It's 100 days of shock.
As long as he can.
Because you really, you know, you turn your computer on, you had it off for 10 minutes, you turn it back, oh my God, they fired the head of the Coast Guard, that ass. No, the woman head
of the... I think what will happen is he might continue that pace, but the media will stop trying to hype every single thing that he does, you know, everything can't be the sky is falling.
No. Well, they could try, but yeah, they'll exhaust. Hey, Jen, listen, before we go, where can people find more? Cause you always have such great stuff. Where are you? Where are you?
Where the hell are you?
I'm in Littleton right now, but
there you go.
Lovely place. Actually my media presence is lacking. They could just search for my name, John Conlin, Conlin, and probably find all types of my rantings.
All right. Hey, listen, just so you know, Charlene is saying, this guy is great. A few years ago, Rhino's apologetic for these Marxist figureheads. All right. Hey, John, thank you.
We appreciate it.
Thanks, you two. Keep up the good work.
All right, stay warm.
Right, bye.
All right, a ton of comments. We'll read them. And so then say, from Charlene, shock and awe, baby, is a great strategy. Sets everybody back on their heels. All they can say is, how dare you? And then Dindy sent U.S. Marshals to the prisons to free the January 6th hostages. I don't know if he sent marshals there, but I do know that there were people, some of the prisons apparently were not being particularly fast. And
those are federal prisons. I mean, they're, you know, so he fired the head of the federal prisons.
Yeah. So that's it. Jacob, I became a child as a result of labor. There you go. Democrats have watered down everything Nazi. I'm Johnny. Defund NPR and PBS, now President Trump. And then from Charlene. Well, yeah, we want to talk about the shock and awe, but first I do want to go back to something happened just to bring it to Colorado. So Jeff Hurd was elected. Ron Hanks ran against him, a grassroots candidate. Jeff Hurd took Lauren Boebert's old seat, CD3, backed by Americans for Prosperity. Today, Channel 9 is tweeting. So, of course, the outraged media, you know, never mind what Joe Biden pardoned, never mind any of that, never mind the persecutions of the January 6th people in the first place. Channel 9 is like outraged. So they're reaching out to all the congressional delegates. Lauren Boebert said she supports Trump's pardon. Crank and Gabe Evans did not respond, which is smart. Please don't, guys, unless you're going to support it. But Jeff Hurd, a rhino that he is, not even in office, what, a month, decides to come out and attack President Trump, right? He says, let me find it. He replies to Channel 9's Marshall Zellinger. Let me find it right. I am deeply disappointed in the pardons for those who assaulted law enforcement officers and for those who fought to stop the constitutional certification of the 2020 election. What an idiot. I mean, I'm sorry. It's like, I don't know. Number one, I'm disappointed that he's disappointed. It's like the best thing that anyone can say about that is that those were completely unfair trials, right? I mean, that's even being kind, right? So if he were trying to be fair, he would say, you know what? That was, the whole thing was a clown show. It was a kangaroo court.
It was
right?
A kangaroo court. I mean, that, you know, and the people who supported, they had a jury of their peers.
Yeah.
That's like saying, you know, a black defendant in Alabama in 1930 with an all-white jury. Yeah, sure they decide to hang him, but he had a jury of his peers. Totally fair.
Most of them
Totally
didn't even
fair.
go to trial, right? You're just his
Well, you
friend.
wouldn't go to you
Yeah.
after you got the results.
Right.
I mean, they were out for like 2 minutes and they'd go guilty. I mean, they were.
So, and Jeff Hurd, it's like, and number two, it's like no one cares what Kyle Clark thinks anymore. No one is watching Channel 9. So why on earth do you think you have to bend the knee to this liberal media in Denver, right? No
Because
one.
you're a piece of shit corporate lawyer, which is what he was.
It's like keep.
And he wants to be, you know, he's got a
Like you said, he gets the Ken Buck Award.
the Ken Buck Award, a Bucky. He gets a
He
Bucky.
gets a Bucky. That's right. From Charlene. Oh, Jeff Hurd got the Ken Buck memo. That's right. Trump is calling them hostages. From Johnny, what about the BLM that killed the retired policeman last summer? Or is that called love? And then from Charlene, because he's a globalist, stooge rhino. Exactly. It's like this is the smart thing politically to do would be to just shut up. I mean, that's the other thing
Well,
that
whenever you
bothers
get
me.
anything from Channel 9, you go shut up.
How are you even responding? And what? So he thinks Channel 9 viewers are going to go, oh, we like that Jeff Hurd
Yeah,
guy
I
now.
heard. Oh,
They
man.
still hate him, and now the Republicans hate him. It's again, the main assaults there came against the Trump supporters. Ashley Babbitt was murdered by a Capitol Police officer, right? She was shot and killed. He was pardoned. What does Jeff Hurd think about that, right? So it's
Yeah.
just, it's again, yeah, how long has he been here before he's just completely betrayed his constituents in
Well, a couple
Colorado?
weeks didn't take
Yeah.
long,
So.
you know, and all of the Americans for no prosperity, as Trump calls them, they're all just traitor gates.
But Gabe, my advice to Gabe Evans and Jeff Crank is, and first of all, if you don't agree with President Trump on this, then keep your mouth shut because you're not going to get any political capital out of it. And if you don't agree with Donald Trump, maybe you should talk to some people like Julie Kelly, who actually have information about what happened there. What's interesting is, and maybe wait until this, hey, Jeff Hurd, they have launched a new House committee to look at the Judiciary Committee to look into January 6th, a real committee to look into it, who can
With subpoena power.
subpoena powers for the FBI and
We want to
DOJ.
find out about those bombs.
So maybe that's just wait until after that report comes out before we
Well,
start
you kind of
attacking Donald
wonder,
Trump.
you know, what's the administration's going to be when the Congress says, okay, we want all the information on the purported bomb. And are they going to kind of go, it's an ongoing
Right.
investigation, we can't help you? Kind of,
Well, of course they are,
yeah,
right?
okay. We snuffed that one because it's really embarrassing because that was our backup plan.
And we didn't.
In
And
case a riot thing didn't occur.
right. Well, and Charlene, here you're absolutely right, Charlene. Jeff Hurd's job is to thwart Trump. That's what his financial backer sent Hurd up there to do. Exactly. And so he's going to undercut him here. Ken Buck didn't wait. They have an assignment. Yeah, it's again, how come Channel 9, they didn't reach out to him and say, what do you think about, did they ask Diana DeGette? Did they have, ask Hickenlooper? What do you guys think about Trump pardoning his family? What do you think about Trump? Yeah, I'm not Trump, about Biden pardoning his family. What do you think about Biden pardoning that guy who killed the FBI agent? I mean,
Right.
all that. They didn't ask him that, right? So just, Charlene, you're right. We will be keeping an eye on that.
So,
Let's move to the fun, nice stuff. Trump hitting the
okay.
ground running. We were trying to make a list. The most fun thing, one of the most fun things, is to watch what he's doing on immigration. And I just love watching Tom Holman talk to like CNN. And Denver's mayor is completely backtracking now. He's like,
Oh,
okay,
no.
I guess we won't actually break the law. Well, I mean, we will follow the law. I mean, he's completely backtracked on this.
My Valkyries from the hilltop will be restrained. They will not be attacking ICE agents
Police
with their
agents.
incredible viciousness, and the police will have them actually do
But
it for
here's
them.
a home and with Dana Bash, and it's so funny because he's saying, hey, all you sanctuary cities, you're actually screwing things up more than you realize and hurting people more than you're helping these illegal immigrants. Doug, if we could please play the home and sound bite.
Speak is limited to those with criminal records.
That's the target of this operation. But like I said many times, in places like sanctuary cities where we can't arrest a bad person in the jail, we would like to have access to the jail to arrest a criminal alien in the safety and security of a county jail, which is safer for the community, safer for the officers, and safer for the alien. But when you release a public safety threat out of a sanctuary jail and won't give us access to him, that means we got to go to the neighborhood and find him. And we will find him. But when we find him, he may be with others. Others that don't have a criminal conviction but are in the country illegally, they will be arrested too. Because we're not going to strike. And this is the difference between the last administration and this administration. ICE is going to enforce the immigration law. There's nothing in the INA, the Immigration Nationality Act, says you got to be convicted of a serious crime in order to be removed from this country. So there's going to be more collateral arrests in sanctuary cities because they forced us to go into the community and find the guy we're looking for.
Let me just make sure that I understand what you're saying, because at first you said that the first targets are those with criminal records, but you are also saying that those who are undocumented in the U.S., also who don't have criminal records, people who are working in their communities, maybe even have spouses who are American citizens, they could be swept up with ICE today as well?
What I'm telling you is when we go find our priority target, which is a criminal alien, if he's with others in the United States illegally, we're going to take enforcement action against him.
That's not that hard to understand, Dana. And it's like, and so take that, Mike Johnson. Not only, I think the Department of Justice says, not only then will we prosecute you, Mayor Johnson, if you if you do that. But if your policies, I mean, the way it should work and used to work is the jails would let the immigration officers know, we've got a person in jail here, they're scheduled to be released at this time. And then ICE would say, like, okay, well, we'll be there at 9. And then the jail would hold them till 9. They would have an ICE detainer, right? And now they don't do that. Now they're not supposed to tell ICE that they have people who are there illegally. I mean, there's really no cooperation at all in most cities, particularly in cities like Denver. That's changing now in places like Douglas County and other counties that have said they will not cooperate. And so not only is Holman saying, okay, well, we'll go after you too, because now you're breaking the law, Mike Johnston, but your policies actually make things worse for more people. I mean,
well, you can see you mean you deport illegal aliens, even though they hadn't recently done a crime? Oh, well, what's that? I mean, they're just here illegally. I mean, you know, they're happily here if unless they have some kind of, you know, they have to be criminals, don't they? Well, you are a criminal if you want to cross the border. I mean, I lived in Mexico. You'd overstay your visa in Playa del Carmen, but they'd come hunt you down.
Well, and I think, what did they say? They apparently, according to the Daily Mail, they arrested some of the Trende Moragua people. And what they did is they took people who already had criminal cases pending. And like Holman says, those are hard to find. I mean, they have criminal cases pending, right? I mean, well, maybe it's hard to find them, but I mean, they know who
they
are.
Well, they've got their government phone, their government credit card, government everything else.
But I think it's other things they're doing. Trump is sending 1,500 troops to the border, right? They are stopping the refugees claiming asylum who are being flown into the United States. They've stopped that. I mean, they've done all kinds of things, just very common sense, simple things.
These are Afghanis that have been, they're kind of like, what do you mean? It's been 4 years. 4 years since we blew that. I mean, where are they at? You know, if it's been, where are we flying them out of? It's been 4 years from Afghanistan.
From Jacob, Mayor Johnson told Denver employees not to cooperate with ICE. I don't think the employees are going to take a hit for the mayor. Well, it's more than just not cooperate. Denver has a law that says if you're a sheriff department and you cooperate, you could be fired. So I think they're going
to go to jail.
They're going to have to look at, well, they probably won't look at that, but they have to look at the other fun thing is here's some other things that Trump just did. It's like only one flag, the American flag, can now fly over U.S. embassies.
Darn.
Yeah.
Or the Black Lives Matter flag. Yeah, we got to get that back.
That Marco Rubio has already said, I think they fired some like 1,000 State Department people. I mean, they're getting, what they've done is they've gone in and they're doing this with the the Department of National Intelligence, right? What they've done is a lot of these people they're appointed somehow, or they're members of details. They don't have, civil service.
National Security.
Right. That one, and as well as at the State Department. And what they're doing is they're just firing people. They're saying, you're all gone, and we're going to place them with Trump people. It seems like anyone, and I mean, it's been hundreds, like in 3 days, anybody, and the Department of Justice too, anybody that they can fire and that they can reassign, they're reassigning, which I think is brilliant on Trump's part, right? Get rid of, because it's like we were saying, Before, everybody almost was against Trump. But now, if you have more, there's still going to be some. They can't catch everybody, right? Or they can't determine everybody. But if you're like one of like three people who hate Trump out of 1,000 employees, it's a lot harder to do damage, don't you? I mean, so even though they can't get rid of everybody, getting rid of hundreds and thousands is going to make a big difference.
Yeah, well,
Right?
that's absolutely right. But I mean, he's picking, like, for there's something called the National Security Division of the FBI, and those are the guys who've been around forever, and they think they're very special. I mean, very
Right.
special. They all hate Trump. They all have been conspiring against him, and they reassigned him. And
Right.
so all these guys have been there for 35 years and have the big windowed offices. Send them to Oklahoma, a little cubbyhole. Say, here you go. And you can do this drug case. Here's the thing. Go to court tomorrow.
Well, I was reading something. It was one of, was it the New York Times or one of those was saying that people, bosses, who everybody's been working from home, right? And now Trump has
Oh
said
God,
everybody,
are they pissed about that?
and they're saying they are getting panicked. This is literally what it said, that you're getting panicked calls from transgender employees who want to know if they're going to still have their gender neutral bathrooms when they come in.
Yeah, that's the
It's like,
key.
for one, that's a total lie, right? Do you, I mean, can you see you're like the boss working from your home, you're watching TV, you have to put on pause, and some panicked transgender employee is calling you wanting to know about the bathroom situation? It's like, that's not even remotely true, right? I mean, that's just such a joke. But yet they're reporting that, like, oh my God, we must protect the transgender employees who don't know what the bathroom situation is going to be
They're
like.
panicking. How
Oh,
many bathrooms do you
absolutely.
need? Male, female, male into female, female into male. Not sure in between bathroom people.
A gender neutral or family bathroom, right? Charlene, are you trying to raise your hand there?
I wanted to say, of all the wonderful things Trump is doing, there's just one thing I wish he would talk about, and that is segmenting DC and sending it out to different parts of the country, and
Yeah.
like having the Department of Energy in one state and Department of Education, if they don't get rid of it, in another state, and get rid of this little cloistered group of bureaucrats that just hang out in Sodom and Gomorrah, and they produce people like this bishop who attend her church. You know,
Right.
she has some, like, it's supposed to represent the country because she's a bishop in a DC Episcopalian church, you know,
Right.
and then they have their court systems and all this. And you know, if he could just separate that federal government. And it would weaken its swamp power, I think, if they could do
Oh, a lobbyist. What do you mean you're gonna have in
that.
Kansas? I don't go to Kansas. I don't do Kansas City.
Exactly.
When I lobby, I do it here in DC. I mean, come
Yeah,
on.
I'm going to take early retirement. I'm not going to, Alabama or wherever. And
Well,
you just think that would be another genius thing, and all the, and, shock and awe, and all they could do is just like, what? How dare you? And
exactly.
so, well,
It's
we're giving you
crazy.
an opportunity. It's for the betterment of the country. But I will say one thing. I looked back over that video of them being subjected to that sermon by that Episcopalian priest. And you know what really got me is I think they chose her because, I mean, she's obviously a Marxist infiltrator, but I think they chose her because she had this tearful voice. You know, she just had tears in her voice. And then she said, and I'm just fearful for the transgender children. And when she said children, I don't know.
All you trannies out there, raise your hand. All you tranny kids,
And
raise your hand.
and the look on, oh, I love JD Vance. I mean, he's like, he's having none of
Oh,
that.
I know.
And the look on his face was like, he almost rolled his eyes,
Right.
And I thought, remember when Rush said, words have meaning, and words create perceptions and they create narratives. So we have to be careful with our words. And I think that's why it's wonderful when she said transgender children. There's no such thing as transgendered children. There are mutilated children.
Yeah. How
Right.
about the kids we mutilated the other day?
And they're not transgendered in any way. Their bodies are just mutilated because their hormones are going to keep producing what they were born to produce, and
Yes.
they're going to be fighting with the synthetic hormones and the hormone replacement. So there's no such thing as a transgendered child. She could have said transgendered adults, but for her to say transgendered children just went right through me, because that's what everybody disagrees on, is that we don't transgender children and we don't mutilate them, and it's really mutilation. So anyway, I'm just, they were all subjected to that. And I just think it just shows what an agenda this whole pride thing has been. And I'm just so glad to see Trump going after it head on. So hallelujah. Exactly.
All right, hallelujah. Okay. Karen Cataline says, and I agree with her, don't worry about, you know, spreading the government out to other parts of the country. She says he will, Charlene, give him another few days. I think that's right. He's been busy. I think he'll do that. Charlene, thank you for the comment. Appreciate it as always. And Chuck,
they should pick out the places they least want to go to, you know, and the least and the least amount of damage they could do.
We go places to boost the economy, right?
Well, you know, I mean, would Des Moines, Iowa be an awful place?
Yeah, it's pretty Des Moines, Iowa. That's right.
Terrible place.
One of the other things that's been fun to watch is them dismantling the DEI. And boy, that hasn't taken long. Corporations are now bailing on it. Even Disney is bailing on it.
Well, but what he did, I mean, except for the FBI, who got the word in early
right.
that they were going to do something, they dismantled their DEI at the end of December in anticipation. He goes, okay, all you people who work in DEI departments and ones, and we've got your names, you're all suspended with pay, and we'll probably be laying you all off. They go, no, wait a minute. Here, I mean, we understood that maybe you weren't going to enforce it as much. What do you mean you're going to lay us off? We do a valuable service of this stuff. And I mean, they're going wild.
Jacob says now DEI means deport every illegal.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we've talked about that. And I think it's interesting that, you know, the corporations, I think in their own way, probably hate this is all just lawsuits constantly waiting to happen. Right. So they're like, yay, we're getting rid of DEI. The other thing.
Here's the thing I kind of looked into. So I looked into, you know, the programs, the educational degrees, the one that you can get in DEI. Then I checked on the top 100 DEI diversity officers, managers. And it was amazing. It's clear because the DEI really came to fruition after the George Floyd. Mm-hmm.
Well, it became killing. A cottage industry.
And it's obvious that DEI, for most of them, means just black women. I mean, 65 to 70 of the 100 top DEI officers were black females. The other 20 were black males, and then there were like 3 or 4 white women, or 5 white women. There were no Hispanics, none. DEI does not mean Hispanics. Go away. You don't count. You're not officially Asians. Go away.
Don't even think
you
of it.
Don't count. Doesn't matter what you want to do. But black female, wow. And so their job as DEI ones is kind of go through a corporation and terrorize it. Kind of, okay, we'll go to the promotions department. What do you mean? You're going to promote that Asian. We do not promote Asians in this company. I said, that's not diverse enough. You got a black female, yeah, that'd be great.
So now you got black females suing him, you got Asians suing him.
But then they kind of go, well, what about the goddamn board of directors? How many black females do you have on that? None. So you've got the Hispanic. Just word to the wise, Hispanics don't count.
Well, as Johnson points out, black females are the Dem base. Yeah.
Yeah, well, they are 92%. Voted Democrat, but they're all going, and they had such good. These jobs paid well over $200,000, and they had no particular.
They had to have their, and that's all gone, kind of in one fell swoop.
Well, you divide up into groups. They would allow you to form a resource group, not white males. That's not a resource group. That's no. But resource groups based on gender and lots of other different things. And what were they supposed to do? They're all supposed to get together and what? Battle each other out?
No, get government grants.
Get government grants?
Apply for government grants. Yeah.
Well, they're already employed.
Well, you need more government grants. But I mean, that's what's going to go away too, right? All of these things and the trainings and on all of these organizations relied on government grants.
And then they're going to go after the university. I mean, Harvard. I mean, that's the The Office of Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and they have one other
That's
one.
Not going to be a major anymore. No point in getting a degree.
They're going to kind of go wild. We run this place. What the hell are you talking about?
Maybe they could get degrees in tech stuff and they could go work for Silicon Valley.
Well, you know, they got in, not based on, you know, their stupid
SAT scores. No, but
SAT
it's all the
scores.
Students who are trying to do that. Well, but I think so. Trump is just a
stupid. We're going to have grades again.
Yeah, we're going to have grades
again. That you can fail or something.
SAT scores are going to, from Karen, they should learn to code. Exactly. They could go to a STEM class at any middle school and do it. But
STEM?
What's been astonishing.
Too many Asians in those STEM classes.
What's been astonishing to me is the speed. I mean, Trump, I think that, he's like, they've been spending time obviously doing, I mean, everything from one flag over the embassy to like the immigration stuff, right? I mean, there's he is just not wasting any time. And I think because he knows he doesn't have a lot of time, I suspect, before the rhinos like Jeff Hurd, you know, start kind of jumping up and squeaking and things like that. And so, and right now there is, I don't think you call it a honeymoon period, but he's got this time right now. I think, you know, MSNBC probably called it right when they brought Rachel Maddow on for the first 100 days.
Right.
I think the first 100 days, I don't know that they're going to give him that long.
I tell you what you should do if you're part of the DEI thing is get a legal degree, because they're going to be suing Trump. They're going to be hundreds. I mean, there are going to be thousands of lawsuits, everything. And they're going, wait a minute, we were ready to sue him on some big stuff. But no, he's doing so much, they're going to have to hire an entire industry of lawyers to sue him, because they're everything he's doing. They're going, no. That's illegal. That's unconstitutional.
They are. I mean, already lawsuits have been filed, and we've talked about that. Lawfare, you know, fights lawfare. But I think that, again, right now he has this period of time. He's got his ducks in a row. He's getting rid of the people, which makes people shut up, right? I mean, even if you, like, hate Trump, you might just still need a job if you work in the Justice Department. And so he's going to get make it clear, you know, we're assuming that if you're here, you're bad. Right.
You
you suck. So we're going to get rid of you or send you home for a while or reassign you. And then we're going to bring in our own people.
Well, maybe we can talk a couple minutes about natural born citizenship.
Okay, we only have like 4 minutes. But yeah, that's one of the things. Colorado is one of the states suing over the citizen birthright. And once again, all the liberals are wrong. Chuck is right.
Chuck is right.
As is John Eastman, who agrees with you on this.
Well, it's
we've got like just 4 minutes.
Okay,
so.
There used to be, when I was in law school, something called the legal realists. And they would say, you know, there's no law. For every legal theorem, there's an opposite legal theorem. For every case, there's another case. For everything. And it just comes down to, judges do what they want to do.
Right.
So for this one, the Constitution says, every person born in the United States, and parenthetically, subject to the jurisdiction, subject to its jurisdiction, shall be a citizen. Well, that dependent clause is not everybody born in the United States. So subject to its jurisdiction must mean something. Then you can go back and you can have people, the arguments in 1868 when it was adopted and complying to the Civil Rights Act of 1866, which all say, no, if you're from two illegal parents, you're not subject to the jurisdiction thereof, and therefore the child is not a
citizen.
Citizen, and you know, there's one case from 1898.
Well, it was a case that involved people who were here legally.
Legally, and then there's another prior. But as a practical matter, you can look just like every other legal case. You know, I have a good friend Ben who's always saying, "This is what it means," and you kind of go, that's what you think it means.
Well, it is open to interpretation, but the bottom
all
line.
All things are interpretation.
But the bottom line, the one interpretation that you subscribe to, that President Trump subscribes to, John Eason subscribes to, is that that phrase, what's it?
Subject to the jurisdiction.
Subject to the jurisdiction, that if the parents are here illegally, then the parents are still subject to the jurisdiction of the country that they came from, and therefore the child is also.
Right.
So the child is not subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. As you said, I think in a good way, and John Eastman argued this in a column he wrote, he's saying this will obviously probably go up to the Supreme Court. So he said it will be good to get some clarity from the courts.
Yeah.
But all these people who jump up and down and say it's in the Constitution, even Alan Dershowitz, it's not. I mean, arguably, it's not, at least, right?
It's not in the 14th Amendment.
Right.
It's a vague, It's a vague phrase, and you interpret the way you want to. But there's no country in the world other than the United States saying, hey, you just come in here as a pregnancy tourist and you drop off, you dump
I mean,
one
if
and
Rev
leave.
had been born in Paris, Rev would not be automatically a French
citizen.
Citizen,
I guarantee
no.
you that.
Oh.
Guarantee.
So, hey, listen, that is going to wrap
That's it.
For today. We can
All
talk
right.
more about this later. I mean, also on Friday, we're going to have Scott Bottoms, great
Hey.
Republican legislator.
Yeah, super good.
Who has announced he can talk about the legislative stuff going on, but who's announced he's going to run for governor. So we'll
Which
look
is
at that.
great, because we really need some good ones. Like, I'm not, wish him the best, given.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. But well, we won't go into there.
We're not going there.
Who knows by Friday what else will Trump will have done?
Oh, my God. Hey, we'll have another hour, hour and a half.
Hey, thank you to John Conlon, everybody on Zoom. Thank you, Doug, and everybody at BBS. And we'll see you on Party Friday.
All right. Take care, everybody.